Save me, Lord, I take refuge in you. My dear people and clients of St. Anthony, ever since the fall of man, when our first parents were driven out of the Garden of Paradise, with the words of God ringing in their ears, "Thou shalt earn thy bread by the sweat of your brow," mankind has known sorrow, pain, suffering and tribulation down through the ages. Yes, suffering, pain and sorrow is all around us. Suffering is written in every page of our history. It is something that even Christ himself did not excuse himself from. And suffering and pain in its various shapes and forms stares us in the face each day of our lives. And as we know, most countries in the world have hospitals caring for those who are suffering from many physical ailments, be it cancer, be it TB, be it AIDS, men and women paralyzed in different ways. And then we have our hospitals who care for those suffering maybe from depression or loneliness or despair. But we are conscious of all this around us. And then we witness the suffering that is brought about because of man's inhumanity to man. And we don't have to look far for that when we see what's happening in the Holy Land, in Palestine, in Gaza. And then we witness the suffering that is brought about because of many other things that are happening. The lack of food in different parts of the world, and the terrible waste in other parts of the world. We see people who are persecuted for their faith and their beliefs. And daily in different parts of the world we see what carnage, destruction of life of young and old that is carried out, and sometimes in the name of God. And then we look at the pain and the suffering that comes to those at a very, very personal level. What of the anguish and the pain suffered by a young mother who sees her husband taken away from her in the prime of his life, and she is left to provide for a young family? What heartbreak there are days for those who are married couples who long for a child and yet they have no children. Yes, suffering and pain is all around us, and we ask and we cry out, why does God allow this to happen, especially when one's sufferings are so innocent? You ask the question, why should an innocent child be born into this world, tortured in mind and body, with some disease, or retarded mentally or physically? And what has it done to deserve this? And we could go on recounting the suffering and the pain that is in the world. And that is why it would be remiss of us if we were to go through this novena and not remember our sick and all those who care for them. There is no way that I can give you an answer regarding God and the suffering and why it happens or why it is permitted. We know that God is the God of love. And yet the words of St. Paul come to mind when we look for an answer. He states, how deep is the mind of God's wisdom, of his knowledge, how inscrutable are his judgments, how undiscoverable his ways. Who can ever understand the Lord's thoughts or be his counselor? All things find in him their origin, their impulse, the center of their being, and to him be glory throughout all ages. And yet we get some kind of an answer, a partial answer, when we look at the life of Christ and his ministry to the people of Palestine and Galilee and Samaria. And after he was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, he commenced his mission of preaching to the people. There was no fixed abode, no one place where he carried out that mission. It would take place all over the country. It could be by a lakeside. It could be in a small villages or it could be on a mountainside, or in Jerusalem itself, or by the side of a well telling the woman about where she could worship God. But it took place where people were, and his mission was very, very clear. He simply told them about his Father, how the Father loved them and cared for them. He told them about the kingdom of God and who the citizens of that kingdom were. The citizens were the peacemakers, the pure of heart, the gentle, those who hunger and thirst for what is right, those who are merciful, those who are persecuted in the cause of right. But furthermore, he told them that he was sent by the Father who was kind, the Father who was gentle, the Father who was compassionate, and the Father who was always ready to forgive. And he manifested this with his wonderful story of the prodigal son, of the young lad who went away and came back and said, "There is more love in my Father's house and food than there is where I am." And his Father received him with open arms. But above all, he told the people, "Come to me," he said, "come to me, those who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." But associated with the ministry of preaching, there was the ministry of healing. And in the same gospel, we see how people came to Jesus and how he had compassion on them and healed them. And the only difficulty, the only place where Christ did not heal was with those people, was the failure of those who did not believe in him. And their lack of faith hindered any healing. He would talk of a blindness. He would talk of a stubbornness, a deafness, a paralysis that he could not heal. But where he found faith, the blind would have their sight restored. Those who were dumb would speak again. Those who were crippled would walk again. And those who were deaf would hear again. And in certain cases we saw in the raising of Lazarus and the daughter of Jairus, the son of the widow. You know as well as I do that we live in a world where suffering and pain abounds. And there are so many people coping with physical sickness. Those who are fearful when they visit a doctor or wait for the results of an x-ray or a scan and what it will reveal. There are those who are suffering for years from one ailment or another. There are those who have ended up being paralyzed because they were the recipients of carelessness and speeding on our roads. And there are those striving to come to terms with it. And sometimes we're not able to cope, and this has brought about an anger within them. There are those striving to overcome the addiction of alcohol or the addiction of drugs, or parents who were watching and worried over their children or teenagers being introduced to drugs and illicit items. But during this novena, in meeting with people and talking with people, one is very, very conscious of all those who are sick, all those who request prayers not only for themselves, but for the many who are with us in spirit, those, as Father Kieran said, who are joining with us in the internet and on the webcam, but not only for themselves, but for the many who are with us and who are the recipients of the healing power of Jesus Christ. And in the days when Jesus walked the roads of Galilee, tonight you come to the great healer. You come to God the Father and to his Son, Jesus Christ. But we come in a spirit of faith, and it's faith that brings us round the altar. We come to be healed and we come to be strengthened. And we are asking like those that he met during his ministry, we're asking to be cured, to be healed. We come like that woman who suffered for 12 years, saying, "If I can simply touch the hem of his garment, I will be cured." And Christ turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And she fell at his feet and she was cured. But I'm also conscious of about the many people who suffer because of unemployment, of people who had to emigrate and leaving their sad parents behind them. But let us go beyond the physical suffering. Let us think of the suffering from a spiritual paralysis. Let us think of those who are blind to the wonders of God, deaf to the calling of God and to the voice of God, who no longer hear the voice of God, who no longer put into practice the words of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. But furthermore, there are those who maybe say that the Christ is irrelevant. And how can we say that Christ is irrelevant, the man that brought about so much healing, and who said, blessed are the pure of heart, who look for peacemakers, who look for justice in the world. How can we say that Christ is irrelevant in a world today? There's a need to be cured from the avarice and the greed that often can creep into a society where it would seem someone more and more, even if it destroys the lives of other people. And that is where there is that spiritual paralysis. In a short while, you will receive the sacrament of the anointing. And we will pray tonight in this Mass and make intercession for you on your behalf to the Father for the grace and the strength that you may need to carry out his will in good times and in difficult times. I will conclude by saying here tonight that we pray that the Lord will give you all the graces in times of trial or difficulty, in the midst of your pain, maybe your sorrows or your loneliness, maybe in your doubtful times when you think that the faith is gone. But just remember the words of Tobias in the Old Testament. Thy designs are beyond our human reach, but this at least all your true worshippers know. Never was a life of trials but has its crown. Never distress from which you could not save. Never punishment but left a gateway to your mercy. It's not time to plot eagerly for our undoing. The storm passes and you grant clear weather again. Tears and sighs are over and you fill the cup with rejoicing. Blessed be the name, the God of Israel, forever. And we pray that that blessing will always be with you. As I said, we will now prepare ourselves to receive the sacrament of the anointing.